real quickly, when you walk the halls, you just see these are people. And these are people just like us, people that Jesus died for. And I tell you, we're a blessed people. God has given us so much, and God has done so much for us. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And we really are a blessed people. I'm a blessed man. I pinch myself sometimes that I get to spend my life reaching lost and broken people. I had an advertising agency a few years ago and was tremendously successful, and it was just empty. And started volunteering in the jail and just fell in love with it, and just seeing people's lives change and seeing miracles in front of me. And they asked me, would you consider coming on full-time as a chaplain? And I said, no, but I'll give you some guys that might. And so I gave them a list of names, and none of that worked out. And it was about a year later, I had closed a big deal with Nextel, the phone company, and I got out to my car, and I just started thinking, what is my life about? What am I doing with my days? What am I doing with my minutes? And I just broke down. I started crying. I said, God, I know I'm supposed to be doing more. And I called my wife. I said, honey, what do you think if I get rid of the advertising agency and I go be a missionary and we lose like most of our income? And she was like, let's go. Let's do it. And so we sold off a bunch of the toys and just said, God, you're the boss. We're going to trust you. And I'll tell you what, it's been an amazing ride. 6 years now. Good News Jail and Prison Ministry has been in the Monroe and Wayne County Jail for 33 years. So they've been around as long as I have. 33 years, we've got an excellent relationship with our sheriff and our sheriff's department. In fact, Sheriff O'Flynn says this, out of all the rehabilitation programs we have, none are as effective as this one. He says this in his quote, once an inmate trusts in the Lord, he's rarely seen in our facility again. Because the sad numbers are, we average between our two counties, Monroe and Wayne, where I serve, over 40,000 arrests a year. There's 6.7 million Americans in the system. That's one out of every 32 adults is on parole, probation, or behind bars. 2.3 million of those are actually incarcerated, locked up right now. The rest are parole, probation, or ankle bracelets. And the government doesn't have the answers. The government has no clue. Locking people up doesn't make them any better, any more than if my engine blows up in my car and I lock it up in the garage for a year, it's not any better now. They said, well, what if you paint your car and put a nice new stereo in it and wheels? The engine's still blown. And so all of the other government programs that have an 80% failure rate, 80% of everyone in jail right now will come back to jail. That's our recidivism rate on a national level. All of the government programs that say, let's shine up the man on the outside or the woman, let's change their behavior, it doesn't work. Only when a person changes from the inside out do they change, and you understand that. You send your volunteers. Volunteers are our most valuable resource. There's no way that me personally can, I have almost 2,000 inmates a day between my three jails that I go to. There's no way I can spend time with every one of those folks. That's why the volunteers that come in, Dan and Chris and Vern and the others that have come in to try and help, it is so valuable. I really wonder if the Christian church is missing what it means to be Christ-like. And I've talked to churches all over the city and all over the counties. We have over 800 churches in our counties, and there's less than 60 that partner with us to help try and make a difference. I've actually called pastors and said, Pastor, I'd like you to help me out. You can come in and preach a service. You can come in and volunteer. Some of your folks can if you're too busy. And I've had a pastor one time say, those people deserve hell. I said, sir, so do I. So do you. And then all of a sudden I got the dial tone, you know, hello, hello. And I call him right back just to make sure it was an accident. And I said, sir, I think we got, hello, hello. Sometimes though, I think in our Christian world, we really think we're doing everything we can. We really think we're reaching our neighbors the way we should. We really think we're reaching our community. And sometimes it's not that we're horrendous or evil. We're just sincerely wrong. Years ago, I came out of a movie theater and I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I hate crowds because I'm real short. All I see in a crowd is backs. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you short people, you get that. So I, whenever I get into a crowd, I'm like trying to figure out how can I zigzag to a high point, you know, like Zacchaeus looking for a tree. And so I reach back and I grab my girlfriend's hand and I start zigzagging through this crowd. I'm on a mission, right? And I get about 100 foot out and I hear, "Stop!" And I turn around and I got this 75-year-old lady by the hand. And I was like, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. And now I'm just bright red. And I'm apologizing profusely. I'm just, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I thought you were my girlfriend. And let's walk back," right? And so we're like walking back. I got my tail between my legs. I'm way humbled. And I get back, and here's her husband and my girlfriend laughing hysterically. They're dying laughing. And I look at the old man. I said, "Sir, I am so sorry." And he goes, "I thought it was a good trade." I thought, with everything I had, with all of my focus, with all of my direction to get through this crowd, I was on a mission, I knew where I was going, I knew how I had to get there, I knew I had the right hand, and I was a good 50 years off, right? Sometimes I think we get that way in our Christian walk. I think we're focused on what we're trying to do, and we really think we're doing what we're supposed to do, only to maybe look back with a little hindsight and go, "You know what? I think I might have had the wrong hand there. I think I wasn't doing what Christ would have me to do." And if you have your Bibles, we're going to look here in John chapter 5. And we're going to look at this question, are we really walking in Christ's footsteps? Let's pray and we'll read the Word. Dear Jesus, we love You, we praise You. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness. God, I thank You for Your love and Your grace. God, I thank You for Your compassion. God, I pray that You'll hide me and speak through me this evening. In Jesus, Your precious name. Amen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind and lame and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man who had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool. And when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was well, and he took up his bed and he walked. And that day was a Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And so they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And the man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who made him well. Have you ever wondered, at this time of feast, this time of festival, thousands and thousands and thousands of people travel in for miles to come to the temple for this huge feast. Have you ever wondered why during this party, during this feast, during this festive, joyous time, with all of these neat things going on in Jerusalem, why Jesus was at Bethesda? You see, the temple's over here, the food, the party, all the goodness. And around the corner, there's this nasty little place called Bethesda. And to picture Bethesda, picture a nursing home with no staff, with bodies and bodies piled on top of each other, of sick and broken people. And realize, in this culture, if you were sick, crippled, lame, blind, whatever, you were a throwaway. You were no good to your family, and their culture taught that if you had some sort of physical ailment, either you're a sinner or your parents were a sinner, and it was a tremendous shame on them. And so you would have this place called Bethesda, piled with bodies of people, all with a hope, with a glimmer that just maybe when this water bubbles, I can jump down in this water and I might be healed. And the sick came from all over. I want you to think about this man's life. 38 years he's been in this condition. Every time the water bubbled, he would just about get to the pool and somebody would jump in ahead of him. I mean, if you can't describe this as pathetic or pitiful, I don't know what you could describe as that. Every day, if I can just get there, my life will be better. And he says he had no man, there was nobody willing to help this guy. Jesus comes strolling through this place called Bethesda. And the story's worth reading just to picture him walking through. Picture the Creator, the King of Kings, tiptoeing through this tattered mess of broken bodies. Picture the thousands and thousands of people in town for this feast that walked by Bethesda and didn't want to look in there. Because what would it look like? Honestly, what do you think it smelled like? With that many people, if people couldn't even get up and get to the water, guys, they weren't getting to the